Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Last miracle service, I started speaking on Mount Zion realities, I believe. And if you want, you can even call this part two, but if you want to title this exact one, you can call it Escape Route. Escape Route. Verse 32 says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and in Chicago and in where you live, there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant who the Lord calls." Can you give us the amplified version of that same scripture? It says, "And it shall come to pass, it shall come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from the coming judgment. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who will escape." There will be those who escape. All of them will not perish. In the second half of 2025, there will be those who will escape. There will be those who will leave the line and just escape and go to the beginning and the front of the line. "As the Lord has said, even among the remnant of survivors whom the Lord shall call." The truth of the matter is this. If you come into redemption, one of the things that redemption gives and puts into your life is exemption. If you don't know anything that happened with redemption, you give your life to Jesus, is that redemption puts something on you as exemption. Because even the old story of redemption, or the biggest, one of the beginning of the times of redemption that we see in Old Testament, happened in Egypt. And it happened at the night where the angel of God was going to visit Egypt and was going to slay the firstborns. And the Bible said that the children of Israel should put blood on their lintel. And whichever lintel we see blood, the Bible says, the angel of destruction shall pass over. So that whole exercise was an example of redemption. To say that something can happen in a locality, something can happen in Egypt, but we can exempt Goshen. Something can happen in Chicago, but we can exempt you. Something can happen at your workplace, but we can exempt you. The other day, one of our brothers was giving a testimony here. He said that in their office, they were about to close a whole department. And somehow, they moved him out of that department and moved him somewhere else. Immediately, they moved him out. They closed the whole department. And everybody, they moved them away. The same thing happened again. The same thing happened again. They moved him one way or the other. And before he knew it again, they collapsed the whole thing. Because redemption qualifies you for exemption. And so whenever you show up at things as a man and a woman who is redeemed, you need to be conscious of your exemption. Exemption status. When you go to places, be conscious of exemption. It will not be according to me like it is for everybody. Never put yourself in this class action. You know, many times people include themselves from what they should exclude themselves. You feel like, well, this is what is happening to everybody in America, but I am not everybody in America. Redemption has given me an exemption. So when I go to class and everybody is failing in class, I will apply for an exemption. I will say, excuse me, can you exempt me? I will ask that sickness that is ravaging everybody, I will say, can there be an exemption? Because that is what the Bible said, that inhabitants of Zion, they can have exemption. Because there will be escape. In fact, another word for exemption is escape. Is escape. So God always has an escape route. God always has an escape route. One of the scriptures that really blessed me as a young Christian was 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I heard, this was Mrs. Idausa back in those days. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Back in those days, she read this scripture, and it just blessed me real good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape." There is a way of escape. There is a way. God, if you understand Jesus the way, you will know that there is a way. If he is the way, he can create a way. That's why that song is very true, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And in this second half, he will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a... There is an escape route. There is an escape route that God can make. You know, sometimes people are saying, the only options are this option, this option, this option. But there is a way that nobody even knows. The way, when it comes, it will create an option that we didn't see on the table before. You know that in the days when they were leaving Egypt and going to Canaan's land, the promised land, there was no other way. There was no way. If they look back, everything at the back was the host of the Egyptians. There was no way. But God made a way where there was no way. He created a tunnel. He created a way. I'm speaking to somebody because you have concluded that where you are, there is no option. I am telling you that in this second half, where you are standing, where you are seated, where you are located, where God sent you to, God is going to create a way here. If I'm talking to you, your amen will be louder than that. There's this story in Mark chapter 5. That was the story I really wanted to walk with. But because of time, you can write it down. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 to 10. That story starts from Mark chapter 4. You will not necessarily know that it started from chapter 4 until you understand that life is, there is a spiritualization of life. You know, I'm sure some of you have heard this statement. Why do you, or some people have told you that, you like to spiritualize things. You spiritualize things. You know, you have just spiritualized it. The truth of the matter is that we don't spiritualize things. Things are already spiritual. Your attitude to it is what we should be asking about, because they are already spiritual. Now, in Mark chapter 5 from verse 1 to 20, we saw the story of this man that the Bible called a madman. But before we got to Mark chapter 5, we saw that Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping. And suddenly there was a storm. There was wind, there was this, there was that. Now, if you ordinarily read Mark chapter 4 and left it at that, you may not know that Mark chapter 4 was connected to Mark chapter 5. Because somehow the devils at that other side, they were already sensing that Jesus was coming. So the tantrum on the sea was about this madman. I am trying to say to you this morning that there are some things that have happened from January till now. The reasons are more than the things that you think that are the reason. There is a why behind it, and the why is beyond that. Your anger at a particular time of the month, your attitude that always goes this way, and you just say, well, that's how ladies feel like at this part of the month. No, that is the strategy the devil has been using to steal something from you. I'm saying this morning, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Things are more spiritual than you are looking at it. So I want you to maintain a spiritual outlook to things as you begin to go into the second half of 2025. I don't want you to just be casual about things. I don't want you to walk about things that you should look at and you should address. Because you see, we started with Acts chapter 12 today. They didn't spiritualize what was happening to James. They just took it as one of those things. You know, it's just Herod that is feeling funny. He just just took James and, you know, they were just having conversation about it until they killed James. There are too many times that the children of God, we are watching what we should confront. We are waiting and looking at it. We are looking at television and when we are supposed to be telling the vision. We are waiting for what I don't even understand what we are waiting for. And this morning, God is saying, wake up. God is saying, wake up. These things are more spiritual. You need to deal with it the way you should deal with it so that you take it out from the root. That is why in that Mark chapter 4, when Jesus saw the storm, he didn't begin to think about some, you know, weather situation, coping mechanism, which there's nothing wrong with it. He understood that he needed to enforce an escape. Because many times, the escape route must be enforced. Jesus looked at the wind. He looked at the waves and spoke to the wind and the wave. He spoke to it as if there was something behind it. You know, sometimes when you see behaviors, you don't think that there is something sponsoring that. I'm saying this morning that many times you should speak to that. There are too many things that we package for counseling. And I don't have a problem with counseling. I don't have a problem with medicine. But there are so many things that we are medicated that we should not medicate. We should speak to the influence behind that thing. Because you see, when the Bible said in Mount Zion that there will be deliverance, what does it mean that there will be deliverance? Yes, it means that there will be escape. But what it means is that we are going to deal with what is dealing with that thing. We are going to separate the spirit, the sponsorship, we are going to take it away. We are going to go to the backstage and whatever is making it to sound like that, we are going to remove it. You know, when we're younger, you know, some people diss me, just, you know, it's not your generation. Let's just leave it like that. But some people were born in a generation that they had these box TVs. Box. It looks like a box. And the way the TV looks, many of us thought there was something behind it. Because there's the brown box. I don't even know why most of them were brown box. And some of them had this window. If you know it, if you know that thing, you should be a grandfather now. If you know what I'm talking about, if you are not a grandfather, you will soon be a grandfather. We used to think there was something behind that. And sometimes we want to go to behind of this thing because we want to find what is making this sound. Now, in our case, we were wrong. But let me tell you the truth. In life, there is something behind it. There are many things that are behind. The delay is not just a delay. There is something behind it. And I'm saying this morning, you need to begin to probe what is going on. You need to begin to become somebody like David did in that place. You need to inquire. What is behind this? Why is this so? What is happening here? Because let me tell you the truth. Like Psalm 74 verse 20 says. It says, have respect to the covenant, O God. It says, for the habitation of the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. He said the earth is full of the habitation of cruelty. There is a lot of evil. Many things you look at casually are not as casual. Oh, pastor, you are beginning to sound very African now. I'm not speaking African. I'm speaking spirit. You see, spirits don't understand geography because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately you are absent from this body, you can be present with the Lord immediately. Now the question is, where is the Lord? Where is the throne of God? Where is heaven, so to say? Why are you able to leave earth immediately? Be present. Why? In that realm, you don't need, there's no time. So there's no distance. You don't move like that. So when you begin to think geography and say, well, some things are in Africa. No, in here, there's more spirit here than Africa. There's more spirit here. There are many attitudes that we see with children, that we see in houses. It is sponsored. That's what I've come to tell you this morning. There is a sponsorship behind it. Jesus was going to the other side and there was this sponsorship. The sponsorship affected weather. It affected weather. So that means some of our delay, there is a sponsorship. It's so that you will be so distracted you can't go for the assignment. Because if you follow the progression of the story, what God wanted to do was to save 10 cities. God wanted to save censuses, and the devil was already sensing this, and they loaded a man that was the key to 10 cities. They loaded him with many demons. So that if one demon disturbs him on Monday, another one would disturb him on Tuesday. So there were different diagnoses. So he was too distracted. The Bible said he was in the tomb. He was in the tomb. They said they chained him and he would be cutting himself. He was all kinds of stuff. And the reason was not just that he was just mad. You know, he has a mental condition. It is depression. No, it's more than that. There were spirits that were sponsoring. Why? It was the key to 10 cities. So I'm saying this morning, what is sponsoring? What is behind? The Bible is saying to us from the scripture we started with, Joel chapter 2 verse 32. It says in Mount Zion, there can be escape. We can deal with the spirits. We can deal with Athen. We can deal with what is dealing with our children. We can deal with it. Oh, this particular thing always happens. This particular sickness. This particular behavior. No! You will speak to them, you know, like a parent. But you will not only speak to them alone. You will speak to what is behind what you are speaking to them. Whatever is sponsoring it. Maybe it is something they watched online. Oh, we don't have time to prosecute some of these things. But the truth is this. Life is more spiritual than many understand it. Delay. Many delays are not normal. They are sponsored. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 18. This is Paul. Paul said, we wanted to come to you. We wanted to move this way. This was our intention. He says, but Satan hindered us. Now, let me say this. Usually when people start to hear the word deliverance, the word, you know, some of these things I'm saying, people exempt themselves by the reason of redemption. And it is true. Redemption makes it that there is a level of satanic influence that cannot happen to you. And that influence is possession. Satan can't own you again. When the Spirit of the Lord owns you, Satan cannot own you. It's Satan that can put many spirits into one body. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, only the Holy Spirit can own you. The devil cannot own you. But sir, he will not leave you. Remember that Jesus, the Son of God, was going to the other side and he wanted to reach Decapolis. But this wicked, stupid devil, first of all, showed up with the weather. But he didn't stop with weather. Immediately he entered the gatherings. Immediately he entered that region. The Bible said this man that they went to put in prison, immediately he picked it up that Jesus was already arrived. This was no social media days. This was not in the days of newspapers. How did he know that Jesus had arrived? The same spirit or the same system that was messing up with weather was that same system that had given him an info. Go and stop Jesus before Jesus stops you. And that's what's happening to some of you. You don't understand that the reason the devil is even stopping you from gaining access to presence, to things that God will use to be your system of advantage, is because he wants to stop you before you stop him. And many of us are not wise. We are not sensitive. We don't know that they push not to come to the gathering of the people of God. The people, they push not to be part of Mount Zion. It's a push not to be part of escape, not be part of deliverance. Because he knows that on Mount Zion, there will be those who will escape. When they come there, there is one of the advantages of Mount Zion is that there will be escape. Okay? So, Jesus was being stopped. There was this delay. The weather system was a sponsorship. But Paul is telling us here, he said, I wanted to come, but the Satan hindered me. So, Satan cannot possess me, but he can bring oppressions. He can oppress. That is why sometimes you find that there will be activities around you that if you really, really ask questions, this is not normal. You are saved, I know, but you still need deliverance. So deliverance is at many levels. We don't have time to walk through all of that now, but just take this from me. Deliverance is at many levels. And many times, even God's people need deliverance. The Bible said it is Mount Zion. It's not Mount Baal. It's Mount Zion. That there will be people that need deliverance, that need to escape. It's not that the devil will possess them like he will possess that man of Gadara. But the devil will hinder them, like he hindered Jesus. He wanted to use the weather to stop him. Maybe if Jesus was not sensitive, the boat system, they would have lost the boat, but they would not lose their life. Remember that Paul had something similar like that, that they lost everything, but they did not lose their life. So the devil wanted to delay Jesus, but Jesus understood that. Excuse me. I know that this is not a weather condition. This is a manipulation from the pit of hell. And Jesus addressed it. And immediately Jesus got to the Gadarenes. This man ran to him quickly. You know what the man first did? The Bible said the man worshipped him. This is a madman in the tomb, running from people. People are running from him. He's living in the tombs. He's alive but dead. You know, sometimes that is the story of many people. The devil has successfully made us to be dead while alive. Our life is like we are in the tomb. We are alive, but we are in the tomb. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said he came to worship Jesus. Even a madman understood that one of the routes of advantage of escape is go and meet Jesus. There are too many people, we don't understand that going away from Jesus is not an escape route. If there will be those that will escape in Zion, they must go to Jesus. If there will be those that will escape in Chicago, they must look for Jesus. The presence and the understanding of the presence of Jesus is an advantage for you. It's a route to freedom. This man, the Bible said, he went to worship Jesus. Thank God that the devil is not as powerful as he thinks he is. Even in the stupidity, even in whatever he's doing, there will still be a route that if you can just take that small advantage, you can still get out. This was a madman. Just maybe a few seconds of sanity, he ran to the right place. There are some of us, we are not that madman, but we are running to the wrong places. We are not showing up at the right places. We are digging in more in the wrong places. You are going deeper in the wrong places. Let me tell you, there is advantage when we come corporately together. I know you can serve God on your own. I know you can pray on your own, but there is something that happens at Mount Zion. Mount Zion is not a physical location again. Mount Zion is a gathering of people. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 told us. Hebrews chapter 12, you start reading from verse 24. It says, but you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the company of innumerable number of angels. And where was he talking about? He was talking about the church. He was talking about the ecclesia. He was talking about the fact that when you come together, that is where we constitute Mount Zion. Mount Zion can happen in a small dimension in your home, but the fullness of Mount Zion is when we come together. So how can I escape? What is an escape route? Mount Zion is your escape route. Make sure you come to Mount Zion. Every opportunity to come to Mount Zion, you should come. That was why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because I know that in the house of the Lord, there is fullness of joy and there are pleasures forevermore. Let us go there. Let us go there. I won't stay away. I will go there. I won't let the mistakes that I might have seen in Mount Zion make me run away from Mount Zion. Because there will be those that will escape in Mount Zion. Mount Zion is an escape route that God has made for people. So, this guy went to Jesus. He went to Mount Zion. Let me say a few things and then we will still pray. I still want us to deal with some things before we go this afternoon. Now, just give me like a few more minutes. I will wrap this up. I wrote here, I said, every wind you ignore will become a storm. Every wind you ignore will become a storm. I'm just taking that from that Mark chapter 4. It was the reason the wind became worse was that Jesus was sleeping. Now, his disciples didn't know what to do with it. They were ignoring it. They were managing it until Jesus was woken up. But maybe if they took care of the matter early enough, they wouldn't have suffered some of the things they suffered because they were greatly afraid. They didn't go from zero to category 10 in just a few seconds or a few minutes. But they could have taken care of you at the beginning. So what God is saying to you and me this morning is this. Your duty is to address the wind and the storm. Introduce sanity and peace. Pastor Yossi read for us this morning Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1 to 2. The Bible said, the angel of the Lord, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. When Satan was accusing Joshua, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. One of the things you need to know about escape routes is this. Your escape routes will need some level of enforcement, some level of participation from your own end, where you will stand up, you will arise, and you will challenge things. You will say, enough is enough. You will not just be watching things happening, just like the apostles were watching things happening in Acts 12. And because they were watching things happen, they were just watching, they killed James. But when they rose and they got angry in the spirit, what happened was that they had Peter delivered from the hand of Herod. I pray for every Peter that Satan has caught. Let your deliverance come now in the name of Jesus. Another thing you need to take note for your escape route is have no relations with the unfruitful work of darkness. If you want to maximize your escape route, do not participate with any unfruitful work of darkness that you know. Sin is an unfruitful work of darkness. The Bible speaking in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no relations with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reproving them. Don't participate in anything that will sponsor your captivity. There are too many times people don't know that sin is what will sink you. What you are toiling with is not toiling with you. It's going to sink you. And if you want to appropriate your deliverance and your escape, have no relationship with the unfruitful work of darkness. Sin is under that. Any partnership, any go and take something there. You know, there are people now, they are adding Jesus plus something. It is Jesus plus somebody in Africa. The person will just say, well, we read the Bible too now. We read the Bible. It's just that we read the Bible and some other books. And then when we read it, we just read it into water. It's just, you know, you see, heaven helps those who help themselves. Even the Bible said that. It's not true. I have no relationship with unfruitful work or darkness. The reason I'm saying this is that there is a sponsorship. If you go and get sponsorship from the devil one way or the other, and it looks like it moves you forward, the forward is going to move you is not the God forward, though. It's going to move you towards his own forward. I have no relationship. I don't know why the madman became mad. I don't know. But it's very possible that he exposed himself to the wrong things. Just like many of us sometimes, we watch some wrong things. You can tell that this thing is not leading to a good place. We attend some wrong places. We keep some wrong things in our house. We just say, well, it's just art. No. Anything I don't understand, I cast it out. I throw it out. I'm not going to be under bondage by the things that me I allow. No. There are so many people that are lawful captives today. You entered into the bondage, not that the devil pushed you. You lawfully entered there by the things that you allowed, by the things that you permitted. I'm saying this morning, have no relations with the unfruitful work of darkness. There are some people, you need to do a cleaning as you are going into the second half. You know, we often talk about spring cleaning and all that kind of thing. Some of us, we need to do a cleansing, a detox. You detox some things. You detox some habits. You disrupt some things that you do, some shows, some friendship, some relationship. You detox, you excuse yourself from them, because this thing will not let you go get your escape, because that person is going down. And if you go with them, you will not go forward. Enforcing your escape route. If you want to enforce your escape route, don't be gentle or polite with the devil. In that Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 5, if you see the way Jesus was talking there, this is Jesus the Lamb. This is Jesus the gentle Jesus. But Jesus was not gentle. There are too many times people are gentle with the devil. The devil does not understand gentility. Leave now. That's not the language of the devil. You know, some people see people like me and say, why do you shout? Because the devil is a stupid devil. He does not understand. If you tell him go, he will not go. In fact, the fact that he came, we should not have come. He knows that you are supposed to be a Mount Zionite. Why is he here? Why is he following Jesus? Why is the devil following Jesus? He knows that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Why is he bringing a storm? Because that's the devil for you, sir. That's why there's need for deliverance from Mount Zion, because the devil is a stupid devil. There are some deliverances that happen in Mount Zion. There is nothing you did. The devil just was being the devil. And if the devil would be the devil, you be the child of God. Aggressive, violent, not taking no for an answer. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 says, it says, the kingdom of God suffers violence. One translation says, violence has been legalized in the kingdom of God. I like the way Luke chapter 16 verse 16 says, it says the kingdom of God is being preached. It says, and every man presses into it. That means that your portion will not just be given to you. You have to press into your portion. You remember that on Mount Zion, they will collect their possession. But your possession will not be given. They will not just say, we are sharing your possession. Oh yeah, you take your own. You take it. No, they will not do that. Many times you have to be the one to say, where's my possession? I want it now and I want it complete. What David did, that's what you will do. You know, in that story of David that we read in First Samuel chapter 30, the Bible said David first wept. That is where some of us stop the story. We will cry. We'll be emotional about it. In the realm of the spirit, emotion is not, it's not your advantage if there is no other thing that you are putting into that emotion. If you cry and cry is the only thing you do, you have wasted your cry. You have to have, that cry has to have substance. You have to put something in that cry. It's okay, you can cry. You can cry to the Lord. But you cry and you bring in substance. You put in something into that cry. You don't just, do pity party for yourself. Like some people have done from January to now. You just do pity party. Why is this happening to me? What a day. Everything is just against me today. Oh, you didn't know that that's the place that you are in. You are in a battle. Everything is not supposed to be for you. Oh, that is why the Bible says we are more than conqueror. Why are we more than conqueror? Because there are things that were coming against us. But there is a fact that has already been established. Somebody has gone to get the victory. So now, those things will still come, but we will fight. Not for victory, but from victory. You are not going to be a gentleman. In July to December, sir, please don't be gentle. Don't pray gentle. Don't do life gentle. Don't be aggressive, at least against the onslaught of the devil. Don't watch the devil touch your child and just say, well, this is America. And so what? This is my child that God gave to me. And as for me and my family in America, we will serve the Lord. Can somebody say amen? We will not give the devil. No, we're not just going to be watching the devil. Oh, this is what you are doing to teenagers. That's why we started Heritage Church. That's why we started it. You see, it can be a little stressful. Some of us that came and have come, and if you have not come, join us. But that's why we started it. Because we want to tell the devil, we will stand with you at the gate. We are not going to take nonsense from you. That our children will now say, the God that we believe in, they don't believe in that God again. Say, which God are you talking about? Are you joking? Before I gave birth to you, do you know what I did? You think you just came? No, sir. I asked of the Lord. I asked him, and he sent me to you. He sent you to me. And I have said, if you show up in this house, you must have my God. You must have my God. If you use my water, you must have my God. If you eat my food, you must serve my God. If you enter my car, you must serve my God. It's not the God of America. You must serve the God of the heavens and the earth. You must serve my God. And I will fight. I will fight. Sometimes when I wake up in the night, I am putting the picture of one child in my head. And I'm walking in the house. Because I live in this house. And I am the one that God has made the Adam of this house to tend this house, to tend this garden. And no devil is going to come and do any mess here. No, I will be violent. I'll be violent. In the day, you will see me, I may be quiet. I may smile. We eat ice cream. But I know when I can become violent. I'm a man of the night. So when men are sleeping, some of us will not sleep because we don't want them to drop something that we didn't buy. There are too many houses now. There are goods that you didn't buy. Who ordered for this? You saw an illegal order and you left it and said, well, it's one of the packages. No, sir. I opened every package. What is this? I didn't order it. You leave now. You leave now. You leave now. I'm asking that in this last 6 months, can you be violent? Because let me tell you, landmark year will not just happen because you are just strolling. No. For you to have landmark here, you must make your marks. You must make your marks. We call 10 hours prayer. You now say, well, God, we don't know now. What do we need 10 hours for? Can't you talk to God for 10 minutes? Does he not know what we want? He does know what we want. But the devil also knows what he knows. Or the devil knows what can be available for you. And he wants to stop you. And this morning I'm calling you. So I begin to wrap up. That God is calling you to enforce and stop being a gentleman with the devil. Use warfare tools to enforce and perfect your escape. I want us to use one this morning. I don't have time to walk through all of them. There is the blood of Jesus. It's a tool. That was how they used it in Egypt going to Canaan. But this morning, I want us to use the name. I want us to use the name. We sang that his name is Rapha. His name is Elohim. His name is Shaddai. But because God knew that sometimes we can't mention many names for the many things that we need to deal with, he concatenated it, he summed it off, and he has a potent ingredient. He made that name. He did something, especially in this New Testament, that we can have a one name fix all, a one name answers all, a one name takes care of all. There is a one name medicine that God has put together. It's your escape route. Some of you have not used it well. You have just used it casually. But I'm coming to tell you this morning or this afternoon that there is an escape route. If you are in Mount Zion, you don't have to be bound. If you are in Mount Zion, we should not summarize your life and say captive. No. Captivity can give way because there is a name, there is an advantage, there is an escape route. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 9, it says, and he has been given a name, that at the mention of the name, or at the name of Jesus, that's how the Bible puts it, at the name of Jesus, it says, every knee should bow. So when we mention the name, cancer will bow. When we mention the name, fibroid will melt. When we mention the name, migraine will disappear. When we mention the name, depression will melt. I don't know the name that is in this room, but we are going to mention a name, because upon Mount Zion, there will be those that will escape. There will be those that will be delivered, and they will use the advantage. There is an advantage of the name. When we mention the name, every knee must bow. If it has a knee, it will bow. Every name must bow. If it has a name, it over. Even if it is an unnamed thing, if it is many names like the legion, when they stand before Jesus, they must bow. They will bow in worship. They will bow in obeisance. They will bow and do what Jesus wants them to do. I want you to stand on your feet. We are going to the best half of 2025. But hear me, it will be landmark as you make your mark. Don't have relationship with unfruitful work of darkness. Then use your escape route. The name of Jesus is an escape route. I said the blood of Jesus is an escape route. Mercy is an escape route. In James chapter 2 verse 13, the Bible says, mercy can stand against judgment. It can triumph over judgment. Meaning that if there is a judgment, there is a legal ground, there is something on your head. Somebody before you did something, they messed up, and they put a judgment on your head. And you have what they call generational conscience. The Bible says mercy can triumph over that. We may not be able to go to all the different routes that I wanted to mention today, but we can use one. That is the name of Jesus. That is the name of Jesus. That is the name of Jesus. Can you just be calling the name of Jesus? Can you just call the name of Jesus? Just call the name of Jesus. Call it over your family, Jesus. Call it over your business, Jesus. Call it over your the remaining 6 months, Jesus. You are too quiet. I told you, don't be gentlemanly. The devil is not playing with you. The devil that you are playing with is not playing with you. Come on, come on, come on. He wanted to stop Jesus. He brought weather. He wanted to stop Jesus. He brought a madman. He wants to stop you too. I don't know what he's bringing. Jesus. 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 The name Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.